Hello, everybody, and welcome in to eBible Fellowship's continuing Bible studies into the book of 1 Samuel, heard at this very same time, Monday through Friday. And we thank you for being with us wherever you are and however you're listening to us, either through eBible Fellowship's webcast audio or through Skype or perhaps through Pal Talk or even over the phone. And we pray that the Lord's blessings will be with us over the next 30 minutes or so as we now prepare to open our Bibles and introduce Chris McCann. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Bible study in 1 Samuel, and this is study number 37, and we're in 1 Samuel chapter 2, beginning in verse 12 through verse 17. I'm going to read that passage. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not Jehovah. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came, while the flesh was in seething, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan, or kettle, or cauldron, or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also before they burnt the fat. The priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, Give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, Let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth. Then he would answer him, Nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before Jehovah, for men abhorred the offering of Jehovah. Now, we're at a point in Israel's history and in the book of Samuel where it is just before God is about to judge Shiloh, to judge Israel's spiritual relationship to him, because the history of Israel we find in the Bible is one of constant failure in doing the will of God and keeping his commandments and worshiping him according to the dictates that God himself has laid out in his law. And it was true in the wilderness, and it's true during the period of the judges. And we're coming in 1 Samuel to the end of the reign, or can't say reign, king's reign, but the end of the rule of the judges of Israel. As Eli was a judge, and Samuel also will be a judge, but then following Samuel, will begin the reign of the kings of Israel. And during this period of time that the judges ruled in Israel, the worship center of Israel was in Shiloh, because that's where the Lord had his ark. And so Eli, the high priest of Israel, was in charge of this worship. And now God is going to give us a little bit of information about Eli and his sons, as we see here, that God calls them sons of Belial, that is, sons of wickedness. The word Belial is translated as wicked or ungodly, and they are not saved men. And yet they were priests in Israel. They were spiritual authorities in Israel, in Shiloh. And so God is giving us a little background, some information to help us understand why it is that he will soon bring judgment on Shiloh. And it will be a very grievous judgment. We'll find in the next couple of chapters, even to the point where God gives up the Ark of the Covenant. And that that Ark represented God himself. It represented his presence with Israel. And the Philistines will end up in possession of the Ark of the Covenant. And so here God is letting us know that he didn't do this for nothing or without cause. No, the place of Shiloh was a place that was becoming very corrupt because of Eli's sons. And so he tells us their custom of sending the Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, had a custom of sending their servant to the place of sacrifice, and the priest servant would come in. Hophni and Phinehas didn't do this themselves. They had a man come in their name, and while the flesh was in seething, he would take a flesh hook and strike it into the pan or pot, and all the flesh that came up by this hook, the priest would take. Now, was that the sin? Well, no, we can't really fault them. Perhaps they weren't doing this properly. It's hard to say, because the Bible does indicate that some sacrifices were to be seethed. Were sodden. That is, the animal was killed and put in a pot to be boiled. And so the fact that they were boiling a sacrificial animal wasn't wrong. And the Bible also speaks of some of Aaron's sons, priests, who would eat of sacrificial animals. So the fact that the priests wanted to eat some of this meat, as far as we can tell, in itself wasn't wrong. Well, what was the sin of these young men? What is their fault that God points out to the point where it was so awful that men abhorred the offering of Jehovah? Well, it says in verse 15 of 1 Samuel 2, also before they burnt the fat. Now, that's an important statement. Before they burnt the fat, the priest servant came. And I mentioned last time, this servant sounds more like an enforcer by the language that's used, someone who is almost behaving criminally, but he's doing it on behalf of the priests, and so he possessed authority. And the priest servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. So the priest servant is telling the individual, the man who is offering a sacrifice, not to roast the portion for the priest. The priest did not want their portion to be roasted with fire or cooked. The priest did not want fire put to it. They wanted it raw. And by the way, the word raw is a Hebrew word that's translated as living. It's translated as alive or quick, that old English word, which means to live. And, of course, that doesn't mean that they wanted the animal alive. It's not saying that, but we can see why the translators translated it with the word raw. They wanted it uncooked. Now, that's very important when we get to the spiritual meaning of this, but for now, we just see historically that the priest servant wanted fresh meat, and he did not want the meat to be thrown into the pot and seethe, and also he was wanting meat before they burnt the fat. And notice in verse 16, and if any man said unto him, that is any man who had brought the sacrifice, let them not fail to burn the fat presently. That is they're trying to point out, let's first burn the fat. We want to offer the sacrifice and we want to burn the fat. And then it goes on, and then take as much as thy soul desireth. Then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now. And if not, I will take it by force. So the priest servant was undoubtedly given instructions, bring us meat before the fat is burned. And yet the individuals offering the sacrifice wanted to burn the fat, and that was the cause of the contention. That was the dispute that Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, told their servant to bring us meat with the fat. And the individual sacrificing said, no, let's first burn the fat. Now, the word fat is also translated a couple of times, a handful of times, as best or finest. And so we could perhaps gather that this particular meat with the fat would be the best cut or the finest quality. It would be the best part of the animal. But why did the individuals, why did the men bringing the sacrifice insist on burning the fat? And because the priest servant said, no, you're not going to burn the fat. And if you don't give it to me, then I'm going to take it forcefully. Why did the men have a problem with that? Why not give them the meat with the fat? And why was it so terrible that men began to abhor the offering of the Lord? Well, I think we find the answer when we look at the phrase, burn the fat. And we're going to look at several verses. For instance, in Exodus 29, verses 11 through 13. And thou shalt kill the bullock before Jehovah by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt take of the blood of the bullock and put it upon the horns of the altar with thy finger, and pour all the blood beside the bottom of the altar. And thou shalt take all the fat that covereth the inwards, and the caul that is above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and burn them upon the altar. Now here, in giving these instructions, and this is the law of God. God actually has given many guidelines for offering sacrifice. He was very particular, very careful to instruct the priest, and it has been said really correctly that Old Testament priests often performed the duties of a butcher in offering so many sacrifices and in the handling of the sacrificial animal and cutting it up according to God's commandments. And part of their duty, according to Exodus 29, was to burn the fat like they would burn other parts of the animal. Now let's go over to Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 1, beginning in verse 7 through verse 9, and we're going to read a few passages in Leviticus, and we'll see why the men that offered sacrifice and brought their sacrificial animal desired and were troubled because the priest servant did not let them burn the fat. It says in Leviticus 1 verse 7, and the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto Jehovah. So the fat, along with the other parts of the animal, were laid on the altar, and all was to be burnt. In Leviticus 3, verses 3 through 5, and he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto Jehovah, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away, and Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto Jehovah. And then in verse 9 of this same chapter, Leviticus 3, and he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto Jehovah, the fat thereof, and the whole rump. It shall he take off hard by the backbone, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away, and the priest shall burn it upon the offering. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto Jehovah. And we'll read a little further down in verse 14, Leviticus 3, and he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto Jehovah, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. Now look at this in verse 16, the end of the verse. All the fat is Jehovah's. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that ye eat neither fat nor blood. And we are familiar, I think, or more familiar, that the Bible tells us not to eat blood. We're commanded that, and even today, that particular commandment was carried over to the New Testament. We read in the book of Acts, we're not to to partake of blood. But here, neither are we to eat fat. Now, this is part of the sacrifice, and it wouldn't apply today. We're not concerned with diet here. We're not thinking about calories or fat calories or any of that kind of stuff. That's on the mind perhaps it's on our minds also as we want to watch our weight, but that has nothing to do with the Bible and with what God's talking about regarding burning the fat. The fat is an integral part of the sacrifice. And God specifically, numerous times, we won't go there, but I couldn't begin to write down all the verses, and we couldn't begin to cover them in Leviticus 4. Leviticus 7, there's also another law against eating fat. Let's look at one more place in Leviticus 7, beginning in verse 30 through 34. And this has to do with the priests. It says, well, I'll begin in verse 29. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, he that offereth a sacrifice of his peace offerings unto Jehovah shall bring his oblation unto Jehovah of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hand shall bring the offerings of Jehovah made by fire, the fat with the breast. It shall he bring, that the breast may be weighed for a wave offering before Jehovah. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. And the right shoulder shall he give unto the priest for a heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offerings, and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. For the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by statute forever from among the children of Israel. And so here, certain portions are given to Aaron and his sons, the priests, but not the fat. The fat, as it said earlier, belongs to Jehovah. The fat was to be burned again and again and again. Burn the fat on the altar. Burn it as part of the sacrifice. And the sacrifice is a type and a figure of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each and every sacrifice that Israel offered was a historical illustration. It was a historical parable. Every time the priest would slay the sacrificial animal and do with it according to the law of God, as God instructed to cut up the animal and to lay its parts on the altar, and then to put fire to it to burn the sacrifice, that typified the sacrifice of Christ, who is such a picture that John the Baptist exclaimed, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. All the sacrifices, all the animals that were sacrificed pointed to Jesus' sacrifice before the foundation of the world, and were little pictures, little figures of what Christ had done in paying for the sins of his people. And this is why the priests would sometimes, in a figure, transfer the sins of Israel and his own sins upon the animal. And then the animal would be killed, and the animal would be burned, consumed by fire, pointing to the wrath of God, as God is a consuming fire, and God consumes the sinner for his sins. And since Christ was bearing the sins of his elect, God consumed him in his fury. And all this was accomplished once before the foundation of the world. That's when payment was made. And so every sacrifice pointed to that. And the priest's job was also to be an example and a type of Christ himself, because Jesus is the one who offered up himself. And he is that great high priest Melchizedek, and he is eternal, and he is the one who offered up himself once again before the world began. And the priest was to faithfully follow the law, faithfully do exactly what God commanded to be done with each and every sacrifice. You were to take the animal God instructed you to take on the day God instructed you to take it, and kill it in the manner God instructed you to kill it, and burn all the parts that God instructed you to burn. The priest's position was not to add to the sacrifice or to take away from the sacrifice. And we find that Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Belial, and that's God's own description of them, that they sent a servant to take away from the sacrifice, to not burn the fat. No, the Hophni and Phinehas developed some sort of preference for the meat that had the fat, and oh, it tasted so good. They really enjoyed that. Well, obviously they had to know, since God says it so many times in the Pentateuch, in the first five books of the Bible, which would have been available certainly to Eli and would have been somewhere in the temple in Shiloh. They had to know that God instructed to burn the fat again and again. And yet, what was that when they had a desire for the fat? They just preferred that, and they had a position of authority, and they could enforce their own rule, and they could make the people give them the fat. And by the way, notice it says here, by the priest servant says, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. If we go over to Ezekiel 34, we find God finally pronouncing the judgment upon Israel. But, of course, this all spiritually points to the churches and congregations. And Ezekiel 34 is a chapter that describes God's giving up of the New Testament churches because they have done these things with the gospel to the people of God, like Israel and its priests did things physically with the sacrifices. And God says in Ezekiel 34, verse 2, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord Jehovah unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat." Notice the condemnation of God to the shepherds. They're eating the fat. They should not have been eating the fat. God prohibited that. The fat belonged to Jehovah, we read in Leviticus. "Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered." And that's the same word, force. And we find in 1 Samuel 2 that the priest's servant came and said, "Give me the fat. If you don't give it to me, I'll take it by force." It's a picture that illustrates the cruelty of the churches and congregations, that illustrates their mishandling and their misconduct related to the Word of God in relationship to serving the people. They were to serve the people and feed the flock, not serve themselves of the people and act as lords over them. And because they behave this way with the gospel and we're not faithful. You know, as Hophni and Phinehas were not faithful with the fat of the sacrificial animal. Oh, so many pastors, so many ministers and priests, so many elders today are not faithful, not careful with every word that God has spoken in the Bible. But they dare add to the word of God and take away from the word of God. And in doing so, they are scattering the sheep. Well, this is all past tense now. Again, the church age is over and God has judged them. And it was an awful judgment. But these are the reasons why that we're reading about. And it's the reason why God will judge Shiloh, as Shiloh typifies the New Testament churches and congregations. But going back, looking at the spiritual meaning of 1 Samuel 2 and in this passage, what could the spiritual meaning be? Well, we see that the priest servant did not want them to burn the fat. But that fat is part of the sacrifice, and that fat, therefore, like every other part of the sacrificial animal, would represent Christ. So they did not want the fire put to the fat. They did not want it roasted with fire, but they wanted it raw, alive. And we can see spiritually, it's as though that Christ was not placed under the wrath of God. He never died on behalf of these individuals. They're so hasty. They want their meat so quickly. They can't wait for it to be roasted. And they want it done according to the way they want it done. And it's all pointing to those today that have perverted the gospel of grace. Well, we've come to the end of our time tonight. We'll discuss the spiritual picture in this passage a little bit more tomorrow evening, Lord willing. But for now, we'll just close. And please, if you're available, join us once again for this ongoing study in the book of 1 Samuel tomorrow night.
You've been listening to eBible Fellowship's Chris McCann with his continuing studies into the book of 1 Samuel. These studies are heard every Monday through Friday night at this very same time over Pal Talk, over Skype, over eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over the phone. Lord willing, we'll have another Bible study for you tomorrow night into the book of 1 Samuel. And until then, may the Lord's perfect will be done. Good night.